So, hi, Mr. Carlos. Thank you for, taking the time out of your day to, be interviewed. It's really nice to have you here.
Hey, McKenna, thanks for having me.
So let's start off with what are your thoughts on experiential learning and how it can improve scientific literacy?
Got you. Good question. So I'm a huge experiential learning fan at Emma, where I've been working for over 20 years. It's something that we've been developing quite a bit. And I think it's important to understand what experiential learning is all about. I mean, basically, it follows a kind of a generic learning cycle that you can find online if you Google it, where you start off on the experience, you reflect on that, you then conceptualize, and then you experiment, and it's like this never-ending cycle. And it definitely applies to things that happen like in outdoor education, where it mostly comes up, but it applies to, I think, all good classrooms and science centers and the like. So I'm a huge fan of that way of thinking. When it comes to literacy, it's a really interesting question. I think when I think I'm a science teacher, I teach biology at Emma. I've been doing that for a super long time. So when I think of literacy, I automatically just think of the scientific method. And I see a lot of parallels between that learning cycle that I just quickly ran through and experiential learning and the scientific method. So of course, there's a connection there with scientific literacy as well. So I think that's very helpful because it just puts you in the right mindset to understand the stuff from a technical perspective. But more importantly, what I have found is when I work with students on projects that are very experiential, they tend to be interested in topics which require a lot of literacy. So a good example is the Norlite plant in Cohoes that I know the sanctuary has been very active about, which I very much support. And students just gravitate to projects and things that they're interested in that demand a lot of scientific literacy. So they need to dig in and kind of figure that stuff out. So, and I think all those threads kind of come together nicely to boost their information and make the best use of experiential learning.
That's cool. So, how do you think community science centers can benefit the community?
Yeah, that's another good question. Service learning is a very powerful way of learning, and it's also kind of complicated in the sense that everyone wants to do service learning, but it's really important to do the best kind of service learning in which someone wants to help and they want to help out a particular population. And it's really important to align what they want to do with what the focal population actually wants or needs. There's all kinds of examples of people that want to go help out in a fashion that's maybe not actually useful, they didn't talk to the focal population or anything like that. So it's really important to align those activities and make sure that they meet in a spot that's beneficial to everybody. So when I think of a place like the sanctuary where I've spent a fair amount of time seeing what's going on and really reflecting on what they do, which is amazing. It's I think a great benefit to a center like that is to bring those populations together and to make sure that the people that want to help out are doing stuff that the recipients want to. Does that make sense?
Like input from the community being served by the center is very important to having an actually successful center like that.
Exactly. Yeah, because we mean I run a capstone program at Emma. It's called Signature, and the kids are always pitching ideas and projects that are cool, but sometimes they have ideas that people, the population they're envisioning helping out probably don't want that. They probably want something else. They may not want a particular kind of clothing. They might instead like some money that they could use in a fashion that works really well for them. And then the other aspect of the center that I think is really valuable is to making that available to everyone. So at a school like Emma, where we're very privileged in lots of different ways, it's relatively easy for us to provide that, but not everybody, right? So I think a center would be awesome to provide those opportunities to everyone, including schools or groups that aren't as privileged as we are.
So how do you think community science centers interact with other educational resources to increase scientific literacy?
Got you. A quick clarification. What do you, when you say educational resources, what are you thinking?
Like schools, libraries.
Good. That's what I was. Okay. Got you. So again, spending time at the sanctuary, it's a really fascinating place. And I love being there and learning about what they do. I think they do amazing work. They do many different things. But one thing I think is cool with respect to these educational resources is they bring these groups together. So Kathy High, professor at RPI, who I've worked with a bunch, it's really neat how I've come to work with her and her students, my students working with her to be specific, at the sanctuary. So it's a lot easier to come down there. And it's like bringing these populations together in these different schools and stuff in a way that I think is awesome.
Cool. That's awesome. So as an educator, what suggestions would you have for those seeking to create community science centers and labs designed for public use?
Yeah, that's a really good question as well. For me, it all comes down to communication. You know, I think if I had to line this thing up, I think first it'd be great to have a conversation with educators and see what they're up to and the degree of interest they've got in participating. Some schools might be really challenging to get off campus. So it might be nice to learn about some programming that's online, which is super common these days. And then to, it's like just some following in the communication vein to just let everyone know what's going on all the time, not just ways to participate, but also other events that might be interesting just from an educational perspective, or you might engage with. So for example, I've had a number of students work at the sanctuary over the years, which has been remarkable, but we've also had kids on the weekends go down just because something else is going on too. So I think that's really useful to know just everything that's going on. Some educators might not ever engage with you directly, but they might know what's going on, pass it along, or just know so that in the future, if something pops up, they'll think of you and work with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for, you know, all those awesome answers and all that really cool information.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It's been great interviewing you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.